condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, welcome to Stack Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, just about Weber on the board. S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up 70. Dow futures up 26 as we continue now this remove into the NASDAQ. Yesterday the Russell got hammered and the NASDAQ was up. It's a we're having this kind of crazy time again here as we flip back and forth. And I think, well, I don't know, we'll discuss this with Mr. Kevin. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
I'm just
a little bit shattered, though. I tried to sell my name, image, and likeness rights. They told me they wanted no part of the image or likeness.
This is bull. I don't know how something like that.
They wanted his name, though.
Name's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
They want your phone number so they can pester you all the time. That's all I want. Just saying.
Yeah, they love a good phone number and email address.
Pretty scary, isn't it? The world we live in. I was reading I know that there's an amazing amount of intrigue, from what Dr. J tells me and other people, and some I can sort of guess, which you really shouldn't do, but regarding the backstabbing and catfighting that goes on in major media, because those jobs are, just say they're incredibly well paid, and, how can I say this politically correctly? When you get people like...
When you're asking that question, the answer is you can't. The
answer is you can't. When you get sleazebags, who's the guy that they... the producer that was having sex with all the ladies because of... to get the roles. What the hell is his name? Weinstein? That's the guy, right?
Yeah, Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Yep. And it's interesting. I mean, everybody goes at this from the sleazeball side of things. Which is, you know, certainly the way to go about it, and there's the moral side of it, but there's also the economic side of things, in the sense that a lot of those roles that he was getting people for, everybody in that room would have been happy to work for a half to a third or a quarter to what they were paying. And the additional cash, whenever there's additional money, bad stuff happens. It's just the way the world is. When things are not competitive, stuff happens. And
Tom, it's one thing to get a role because you slept with someone. That's bad, and I think that's what you're getting at. But on the other side of it, if the threat is I can destroy your career,
it makes it even worse. Well, sure.
That's a different problem, and that's, you know, that was Weinstein.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely it just adds to it, right? But the point is if the role was a competitive number, somebody would just say, "I'm not touching you. What's the matter with you?" I mean, you know, nobody would give money to a politician if the Dan Ryan Expressway job was competitively bid, really competitively bid, because there wouldn't be any. Say, what are I going to give you money for? This is competitive. This is the right price. I mean, and until the world understands that, you're going to have graft. I mean, I remember in my stepfather's days, one of the guys he knew from the Chicago executive program, which actually became a pretty good friend of his, was he had a personal assistant. Duh. And the going rate for, I use the term personal assistant secretaries, in those days was probably 18, maybe. She was paid 60 or something. Well, it was his own company. And it was a relationship they had for a long time, and you know what? They both were very happy with it. Not saying it was right, wrong, or whatever it was, but they were both very happy with it. But with Weinstein's case, he's given away other people's money to get himself some sex, which adds another layer of problem to it, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, well, I guess where I'm going with this...
Sort of like, who was the coach? Bobby Petrino, when he was at Arkansas. Putting his paramour on the payroll in a high-paying job that she didn't qualify to get. So not only was it a case of using shareholders' money, in this case it was using, you know, state of Arkansas money to do it. So, hey, if the guy who has a privately held business wants to make his decisions that way, I suppose you can say there's nothing illegal about it. You might question the morality of it, But there's nothing that's that is at least technically illegal. But once that crosses over into using other people's money to make that same hiring decision,
that's
a problem.
Yeah, it's a real problem, sure. But what I'm going, I don't. I guess when we start calling people out, there doesn't seem to be any sort of moral fiber anywhere in this world that we're moving away from them. I could care less who calls the NBA games, but I was reading last night about this lady, Rachel Nichols. Since when is a private phone call that you are not told is being taped something that that anybody can bleed out there? First of all, why would anybody believe the guy on the other side of the phone? And how do you ruin somebody's career over a third party, comment on what somebody said to him in private? I mean, what are we talking about, Kevin? I mean, for those of you who don't know the story, this lady, well, Matty, you know more than me. Who's this guy, Adam Mendelsohn?
I don't know who Adam Mendelsohn is, and I don't know if I do know more than you, because all I've done is read probably the same things you've read. But essentially, she was having a private conversation about a colleague of hers who is sort of a young, up and coming African American woman.
Well, this guy's an advisor to Lakers star LeBron James.
Okay, so is it a mutual agent that they have?
It just says, all it says in CNBC is he's an advisor to Lakers star LeBron James. So she must be on there trying to figure out if LeBron James is hurt or not or whatever. I'm sure that was...
Maybe she's looking into something for a story or whatever, and it happens to come out. But she basically said something like, this Maria Taylor, like I said, this young, up-and-coming sports reporter who happens to be a black woman... Rachel Nichols is a white woman and a lot older than her. She said, you know, with ESPN's crappy record on diversity, she definitely, you know, deserves a job, basically just not mine.
Yeah.
It's essentially what she said when I read the transcript.
But how does this guy, months later...
You know, I'll throw in a comment there, is I do know who Maria Taylor is. I have no idea who Rachel Nicholson is.
Yeah, you do. She's a redheaded lady who's been in basketball for years. There's always three people at the desk, and she's the third.
Don't pay a whole lot of attention to...
Well, I don't know the names either.
Pretty much anybody except the basketball players.
Well,
I don't blame you for that. I know who both of them are. I probably know Rachel Nichols a little bit better, only because she's been doing it longer.
I know her name. Until they showed me her picture, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, she's been doing sports, not just the NBA, but sports in general for a long time. And then before that, she was... I want to say she was at maybe TNT for a while, and then I think she was maybe at CNN for a while. I mean, she's been a reporter in the public eye for 20-some years. That's the only reason I know her. I don't particularly think she's amazing at her job or anything. I don't necessarily think Maria Taylor is either.
And what I'm getting at with that, Matt, is to say just that is, okay, you're carping about it. What makes you so worthy of it in the first place?
Totally, yeah.
Well, but this is, I got to talk about a bizarre story that matches up. There I was, minding my own business, playing blackjack in Vegas years ago.
As usual.
And And, you know, the cocktail waitresses at one point were, let's just say they weren't just girls that walked down the street. They wore, you know, interesting outfits, almost like Playboy outfits. And
still do.
And one of them was, you know, basically hotter than the next. Well, this older lady comes by, and you could tell that she, you know, was getting up there. She was still very attractive, but she wasn't 22. And all of a sudden, she starts basically bitching at this other one about how she can't believe these young girls come in, and all they are is good-looking, and they don't know how to serve drinks and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, really? I mean, not that I wanted her fired or anything. She was fine. I actually really liked talking to her. But the idea was, how do you think you got the job? Because you were smoking hot when you were 22. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the people that can actually hustle the best drinks here. I mean, come on, who's kidding who? I mean, at least, but I don't get the part where somebody, this guy. I mean, let's put it this way: if this was the trading floor, this man, no one would ever talk to him on the phone again. Why would you? I mean, what are we doing here? How many times has somebody said in another conversation something that the next day they probably felt that they, you know, they shouldn't have said? But that's just human nature. You know, nobody.
Well, and you're right. Why would you trust somebody who would release that when it was a private conversation?
Plus, why would you even believe him?
But you didn't say it was off the record, or you didn't say that this was, protected information in any way. Is that not, does it not occur to anybody that when you and I have a conversation, that, you know, it's a little different than when we're talking on the phone than it is when we're talking on the air here?
Well, I don't think that some of the people that are wandering around this world now, planet Earth, spaceship Earth, understand any of this. Boy, I don't want to be like Tony La Russa, unwritten rules. Plus, if the guy has a tape of it, I remember being on the committee at the CBOE where they decided we need to tape all the lines where people call in orders to the trading floor. Now, firms had been doing it on their own for a long time, and the CBOE decided, well, maybe we should make it mandatory for everybody to do it. I tell you what, Kevin, the hoops you have to go through to be able to tape people's lines, because you have to notify people that the line is being taped, one way or the other.
Yep.
And the way that
I remember it because I know that because I've run wire transfer operations.
Well, and the only the state has allowed, I'm not saying that they're right or wrong, but they've allowed something so annoying like the beep beep. As good enough notification, and this is a while ago, but I don't think it's changed much. Whenever you're on a tape line, you get that annoying beep, right? Or they have to come flat out and say, "This phone call is being taped for
being recorded." Yeah.
Yeah. But you couldn't do that when you're giving somebody an order because time was money, so you couldn't do that. So then the question is, how many seconds could there be between beeps? How obnoxiously loud did the beep have to be? And these are in state laws. I don't know if every states are different or if they just grab a thing from the FCC. But you can't just tape a phone conversation. I mean, maybe you can now. I don't think people have any clue of this morality these days. I mean, you can see it sort
of
anyway.
It varies from state to state. Some states require two-sided consent. Some states only require one-sided consent, which means that the person recording it has granted the necessary consent.
I mean, what if? I don't understand. We're now July, whatever we are, 7th or so, 8th. What manner of moron would say, man, I had a conversation with this Kevin O'Neill 4 months ago, and he said something like, why is LeBron even allowed to do anything after his Twitter thing with the policeman, you're next, that got taken off 5 hours, but somehow it hasn't come back to bite LeBron in the behind at all, like it would virtually anybody else, certainly any white person. And if you said that in a conversation, and I put it out there today, 3 months later, why would anybody believe me in the first place to think I even remembered the conversation, or I taped it, or something, or they just wanted this lady out anyway? Or I mean, something here does it pass the smell test to you? It doesn't to me. Just saying.
Just trying to figure out what that smell is.
Yeah.
That's aromatic.
So if you're a guy who is pissed off, I didn't see this. I didn't want to find it. I didn't want to find it. But if you're pissed off at the Center of Disease Control for the COVID situation, how miffed are you about their announcement last week regarding you shouldn't go in a swimming pool if you have diarrhea. Do we really, as a country, need to tell people that? Or have we become that collectively stupid? Or we didn't know that already?
We certainly would be embarrassed to think so.
I just, George Carlin, man, you see how stupid the average person is and think how stupid, or half of them are stupid or dim or something? And then your buddy last night, before we get into the markets here a little bit, Cuomo, we need to get these. How many times, how many bazillion times have we heard some loose-lip moron, and he's not a moron, shouldn't say that, but say, we need to get illegal guns off the street, and we need to make sure only people that have guns are the right people. We've heard that, but I suppose if you listen, you'd hear it 10 times a day for like as long as I've been on this earth, and yet nobody does anything about anything.
I'm not taking anybody seriously who thinks that the current situation at the border is just fine, because guns are coming in, you know, like pouring over the border. So anybody who's not in favor of securing the border then is definitely not in favor of controlling illegal weapons in the United States.
But I don't think, Kevin, that as much as we look at the politics, and one of the things the thing I learned more about reading history is that it's right there in front of you. You can't debate it. You know, it's what I'm saying about that is when it comes to policy, there's no way you can let your politics, whatever there are, or your, you know, whatever you want to call it, your thinking bad about people, whatever, it has no place, because it happened before and all these people are dead. You can't change it, you know. So when you read that Roosevelt, as much as he knew way more was going on in Europe than virtually anybody else, he didn't feel that he could do anything to help Britain, really, other than stuff he did, like Lend-Lease and things like that, until the country was essentially ready for it, or else he'd be leading without a cause. He'd be out there by himself, and there'd nobody be behind him. And that was his read, and I think it was probably a pretty fair read. And right now, to look at, I mean, we're all of a sudden we're buying everything we want from China. Biden has decided, he had his Chamber of Commerce lady out last week, and again, I think she's probably very bright, and if she sat anywhere with us, she'd probably steal the show, and how much she knew versus us. But the fact is, she's there with some long story about how we're certainly mindful of the human rights abuses, which basically at the end of her monologue was, so you're not going to do anything about it and everything's okay. You know, the idea that we're next year at the G7, we're going to talk about it again, leads me to believe that for the next year, nothing's going to happen between us and China. And if you're doing business over there, Nike or whatever, you just got the total green light from the government, right? That's basically what's happened. And so now Cuomo, but right now, this country is not ready for gun control because people are afraid. And there's no way, when you say, we've got to get the hands out of the people that shouldn't have guns, out of the hands of people that shouldn't have it. Well, you can interview somebody with, you know, four felony convictions and an IQ of 12, and his idea is it should be 5 felony convictions and an IQ of 11, right? I mean, there's no consensus on who's supposed to have a gun or not. I mean, cause it's always somebody, you should have one, and the guy just below you shouldn't have one. Isn't that people's perception of it? So the idea of having...
Yeah, so building, yeah, and that's hard work to build consensus, and we don't want to do that. There is nobody in the political world doing that. They're just making stuff up.
Well, the one of the most interesting,
I'll give you an example of what I mean. You know, Biden's big speech about crime a couple of weeks ago. Where did he pin the problem? Where's the only initiative that he laid out there? It's the people who run gun stores that sell illegally. Now, how many do you suppose that is?
How
many licensed gun shops do you suppose sell guns without background checks to people who shouldn't be getting them, and who black market trade automatic weapons, which are illegal in this country.
Probably not very many.
Not very many. So why would you single them out as your source problem, and this is what we're going to dedicate our resources to fixing?
Well, because it sounds good.
You're either really, really stupid, or you have no intention of fixing the problem.
You have no intention of fixing it. That's
you just want to talk about it.
Well, but I think if we landed in the Oval Office, God, that'd be something. And all of a sudden we had all these grandiose ideas, assuming we did, and I'm not so sure that Joe does, but assuming we did, and we start putting them up on, I was going to say the blackboard. I'm sure it has been a blackboard in the Oval Office in like 100 years, but something.
Yeah, might have a whiteboard. Though.
Might have a whiteboard. So we start scribbling them up there, and all of a sudden somebody's next to us who knows all the politics says, nah, you can't do that one. Nah, you can't do that one. At the end of the day, we're wondering why we're even here. There's somewhere buried in my mess here. There's an article from, I'm sure the guy's still alive. We did it right when Manny and I first started the show. He's Tricky Dick's daughter's husband, not Eisenhower, the other guy. And he's obviously Republican, conservative. He works for this think tank. And he was talking about when are people going to straighten out, essentially, in the federal government? When is government going to, people stop fighting about this and about that and actually get together and do something? And his point was, we haven't hit bottom yet. And it's not going to happen until we hit bottom. And then we have to hope that we don't hit bottom with such a thud that no matter who it is, that, you know, Solomon couldn't come back from it. Basically, it was a tenure of the article, and I read it, and I'm going, this guy, he obviously knows what he's talking about, because I had not thought of it that way. But I'm sitting there reading that. But I am stunned, Kevin. It's 10 years later. If we haven't hit bottom at this point in terms of government largesse, in terms of money, what the Fed does, and in crime in some of these areas in Chicago, if this isn't the bottom, where the hell is it? I mean, if the last, you know, if the people getting shot, the kid who got shot in his way to Chicago by a stray bullet on the L, if this isn't the bottom, what's it going to be like? You know, 500 people killed on a weekend, 1,000? I mean, we're not even close to the bottom here in terms of people wanting to do something about it. I mean, actually really wanting to do something about it. I mean, we're not even close to the Federal Reserve. As long as your stock went up yesterday, you don't care what they're doing. I mean, why not make it, you know, $100 billion a day? Just pump it out there. Everybody feels rich for a month. Are we counting on the fact that 90% of the citizenry has never had an economics class? Or what are we? I would have thought that we'd be at bottom here, but we're not even close. I mean, what's it going to look like?
You know, my question is, what's the incentive for the direction we're going? Who benefits from the direction that we're headed?
Kevin, sorry to say this. Open your eyes. Look at the people that all of a sudden have so much money they don't know what to do with it.
I agree with you. That was a rhetorical question, but I wasn't. You know, that's hard to get.
It's not you and me. It's not a guy getting paid by a university. It's not PTI because we can't raise. We don't want to, but we couldn't raise rates anyway because everybody else is getting kickbacks on the other side and they're free. I mean, we're obviously not in the loop in the money. But if we were a big time restaurant chain, my God, how much money did we get from the government last year? If we're an airline, I mean, we got paid $1 billion or some dollars to keep people on, and we come back halfway, and guess what? They're wanting their own enough people. The people you were supposed to pay with the government money, you don't have anymore. Duh.
Well, and so now you start saying, okay, well that sounds kind of crazy. That, you know, we don't, you know, really, you think somebody has that kind of influence? And at which point you cue up from The Godfather, who's being naive now, okay?
Yeah. I don't, I mean, my one of my nephews, he's a somewhat of an argumentative sort. Imagine that in our family. And
I find that hard to believe that anybody in the Howe family would be.
Yeah,
like,
but he's, let's just say he doesn't.
It's that damn Dan. He's got to do a better job raising those kids to be compliant.
Well, one thing about Dan is, if he argues with you, there's one guy, he's like arguing with you, because it's, you know, he's researched it more than you have, so you better be careful. because he probably he wouldn't bring it up if he already didn't have somebody fax it in his favor that you got to be careful about going there. I mean, arguing with you and Lou, you got to be careful. You guys actually have done the research, right? Arguing with other people is easy because they don't know anything. All you do is lob a couple of facts out there and you got them, right?
You're right. Whenever Dan claps back at something, you just keep your mouth shut because he's done the research.
Yeah.
I learned that a long time ago.
But let's just say that
just ask him for a homebrew then and settle it up.
Exactly.
But, you know, let's just say that Ed Apple has not fallen to his kids sometimes, you know, and you'll get, you know, the arguments about one, you know, a firm or two that got money from the PPP that had business the whole way through and, quote, in a moral sense, maybe didn't deserve it. But then you try and explain that helicopter money is just that, and if you decide that you're going to be take the moral high ground when they're given, it was like, you know, the firms that didn't go overseas and cheat on their taxes. Well, guess what? If you didn't do that because you thought it was wrong, the firm you wanted to buy got outbid by somebody who had more money than you because they didn't pay their taxes. So, but the thing that always gets me about it, as I said to him, I said, you know, nephew, I said, don't you understand that the money that you're complaining about, all the stuff people got, half of which, you know, didn't necessarily need it, but whatever, but got it because they were part of the law, or the PPP programs, the first one, that was only 25% of the money that went out. So if you want to bitch and moan about the 75% you don't even know anything about. Where do you think that went? You talk about people not deserving. I mean, you know, lay off your neighbor, will you? I mean, let's try and figure out where the other 75% went that nobody's telling us. I mean, you know, if we're going to be pissed off, let's be pissed off at the big guys. Hey, when we come back from break, Kevin. Since you know more about this than me, let's go through this. Talk about lobbying being worthwhile, this Microsoft switch to Amazon or reopening this thing at the Defense Department. Can you give us a little history on that? Because I think that is spectacular work by lobbyists with a changing of administration. But you know more about me, so try and edumacate us, as my grandmother used to say. S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up 83. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Who's being naive, Kay?
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Low and open Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures now up 8.25, NASDAQ futures up 85, Dow up 14. Dow hasn't been doing much. We had American Express up 94 cents. They were up a bunch yesterday. We've got Home Depot up 74 cents. Nothing really going on in the Dow. Apple up 116. There's some recurring interest in Apple here in the low 140s. One of the groups that I do some business with, Apple's probably their biggest holding, and it's had a, you know, pretty rough last year, so I think a lot of people there would be happy if it started going back up, but obviously they're tied into China, they're tied into a lot of stuff, so I don't know, we'll see. Because one thing about Apple, that they seem to, when the market's going down, they go up, when the market's going up, they go down. It's kind of, for a huge stock, it's a little bit of a contra-trend indicator once in a while. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 128.8%, we've got the FTSE up 28.4%, these guys were slightly down yesterday. CAC around up 76 cents, it's flat, shall we say. The over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 276, that's a full percent. Shanghai, this is, again, what we've been dealing with, they're up 23, which is 0.7%. Hang Seng down 112, that's 0.4%. So they've been mixed over there pretty much virtually every day for quite a while. As a way of review, Dow list, yesterday down 208, S&P 500 down 8, but the NASDAQ was actually up 24. And we have been down an awful lot more during the day. Dow at one point was down 400, and it came back. A 10-year, 1.34, that's another two ticks down. The Bund minus 0.02, minus 0.28, and Japan unchanged at 0.03. Again, we'll see, you know, when the Fed meeting minutes come out today, but you can't fight them. They're just pouring money in, and it's not, well, whatever. We say that every day. Oil up 128 to 74.60. Let's be careful there, because we were there the other day. We went down during the day, and then we come flying back up. So Brent up 127, 75.80. That spread's now $1.15, 14. Natural gas up another 4 cents at 3.68. Making a run at $4 here. That'd be incredible in the summertime. RBOB up 3 cents to 225. Gold, we've got gold up 14.60 to 18.08. It slunk under $1,800 yesterday. Now it's back up over it. Silver up 35 cents. These stocks, again, we're talking about trading in arrears. Every single day for the past, like, 20 days. Well, I won't say every single, but darn near. If you would have sold gold in the morning and bought it back in the afternoon and sold it the next morning, you've made money. For some reason, it rallies in the morning and it slinks down all day. Copper up 8 cents. 4.33. It's a 2% move in copper. There is no inflation. Platinum up 1.2%, palladium up 1.8%, and last but not least, well, it's least for me because I don't have any, Bitcoin, 34,929, so reaching the upper end of this recent range. It's up $954. We'll see if it bounces back down or if it keeps going this time. We got for us Traffic Weather Sports, Manny.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no delays to speak of here on a Wednesday morning. So enjoy a nice quiet commute if you are heading into downtown. We do have all kinds of police activity on the south side. Apparently not a good night, as three CPD police officers were shot. Last night, Chief, I don't know if you're aware of this.
I did not receive it.
In front of the 22nd District headquarters, apparently that
Which
happened.
Which is one? Where is that?
Well, it's on the south side somewhere because we have Monterey Avenue between Homewood and Vincennes is closed.
It's 111th. It's the one in Mount Greenwood.
Yep. And then 119th Street at I-57, that exit ramp is closed due to police activity. I know
several of the guys out of there that play softball. They're all okay.
And then west of there, 95th Street between Kilbourne and Costner is closed due to police activity.
It's an Evergreen Park.
I don't know if these things are all related or not, but three closures in a...
Actually, no. I took one.
Yeah. Three closures in a relatively small area due to police activity right now on the south side. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, clouds early, and then we could have some rain in the area, a high of 81. So we cool off quite a bit from where we've been the last few days, so that'll feel nice. Right now it's mostly cloudy, still dry, and 77 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 111 today. Right now it's clear and 88. In sports, White Sox snapped their three-game skid, beating the Twins last night 4-1. Cubs scored 10, but were still blown out last night, losing 15-10 to the Phillies. The Cubs have now lost 11 in a row and will probably start trading off their assets here in the coming weeks, which is sad because they were in first place 10 days ago.
What are their assets?
I believe their closer would go for a lot.
Yeah. There is one.
And I believe, you know, they could, if they wanted to get crazy, they could certainly trade guys in the last years of their contracts, i.e. Rizzo and Bryant, and they could trade Baez, they could trade Kyle Hendricks. There's a lot of guys they could trade that are worth something. Wilson Contreras.
But that wouldn't even be a Major League Ball Club if they did that.
Well, they've done that before.
That's true.
Diamondbacks top the Rockies 4-3. And in NBA basketball, the Phoenix Suns win game one of the finals last night for our lovely Phoenix listeners, beating the Bucks 118-105 and taking a series lead of 1-0 in that best of seven final. Chief.
I think you don't want to harp too much. Well, actually, you want to harp too much on the violence. But the thing that is striking me, you don't want to be doggy down or too late, right, Kevin? But I read this Hey Jackass thing on Monday morning, and obviously some of the listeners have had to put up with that. But you look at these, the thing that is, it is striking. It's not like that, it's not like they, you know, they, whoever they are, should stay in their neighborhood, whatever that means, and shoot themselves where it's oblivious to you. I never felt that way, because I used to be in those neighborhoods a lot. I mean, I know a lot of people there. To me, they're people just like me. It's their people are people. I don't care what color you are or whatever. But if you look at what's happening now, this is becoming a dramatic citywide, every age, every sex. You go through the list now, you know, there's 61-year-old women getting shot. There was a 1-year-old kid that got shot last week. This police station, it's two blocks from where my brother lived for, what, 25 years? The place that he takes his car in to get fixed is 111th, two blocks from there, Maddie. And there was a shooting there last Friday at 5 in the afternoon. And I said, Dan, make sure when you go by, if you pick your car up, you go, like, earlier in the day. But it doesn't matter. Now the shootings are 3 in the afternoon. This is they can say what they want about the numbers between now and 25 years ago. There is no comparison in the randomness and the danger to, if you look on there, man, even you who lives on, you don't get around too much like I do, but there isn't an, if you read down that list, there's 15 addresses that I drove by last weekend or my niece did or my nephew did. This is way worse, way out of hand compared to, you know, everybody stayed in their neighborhood 25 years ago. It's not even close. I mean, I never heard of an expressway shooting 25 years ago. Where people just open up in a car, and if you happen to be in a car next to them, if it's not the people they're shooting at, oh well, we'll get the other guys next time. This is we're not even on the same planet. Am I really wrong here, Kevin?
My sense is that you're wrong, and in this case, data is not necessarily. I would say it's not reliable. First of all, when we talk about deaths from gun shootings, that's as much a function of medical technology improvements as it is anything else.
Well, unless they get you 10 times out of a car.
Yeah, oh sure, but so many people now get shot that would have been killed before and their lives get saved now. So that's a big factor in the data. And I think you need to look at it all. The thing is, what we do know is it's a problem. it's a big problem. It's a problem that is disproportionately affecting poor people. It's disproportionately affecting black people. Who you want to blame doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference. That's not really the point. The point is it's happening. And in the past, what has done more to remedy the issues, or at least change the trajectory, has been very strict policing. And it's a shame that we have police that, you know, that make a big splash in the news because they're untrustworthy. Like, you know, those stories on their own merits are bad, but in addition to that, they also undermine the ability to police neighborhoods effectively, and therefore, you know, we're kind of stuck with this problem because the backlash has been substantial.
Well, whether you patch people up or not, in the last 4 weeks, and I've been down in this area of the Loop now for, well, I used to get off the train here when I worked for Pullman, so we're pushing 45 years, Kevin. I've never seen a two-week period where we're in 1,000 yards of this office, four people have been killed in the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's unconscionable. I mean, the Millennium Park closes early like all the time. Last week there were 62 arrests downtown again. The idea of unless you're some dumb tourist, the idea of bringing your family down here on a Saturday night to go to Millennium Park, unless you can scoot in the other way and park in the parking lot over there, I mean, as you know, nobody loves the city more than me, and yet I'm looking at it going, like I said, where's the bottom? What are we doing here? When you can get blasted on an L car going to the University of Chicago for class and just sitting there and all of a sudden you're dead. Kevin, this randomness that you shoot at anybody, and then we have this massive thing. I mean, I can't believe it, that policeman who shot the young kid, was about 5 weeks ago. I mean, I can't imagine how he must feel. But I also know that unless you tell your population that in response to the laws are now regarding guns and so forth, that if you see a pack of five or six idiots going down the street and one of them is younger, that one is carrying all the guns. And when needed by the other guys, he passes them out because he's under 17 and they don't even hold him overnight. I mean, people need to know that before. So in that particular shooting, the 13-year-old carrying the gun panicked, the cop panicked, and all of a sudden you got a dead 13-year-old. Is it right? I don't know. There should have been backup. It shouldn't have happened. I get it. But also, the population needs to know that the reason why the kid had the gun is because the other kid's over 17 and he's making the young kid carry it. This is what we're seeing. So to see something like that happen, you don't want to see it, shouldn't be a major shock to anybody, should it? Why should it?
It should not. And I also think the police departments in general play a big role in this, in that they need to educate people. They need to let people know what is really what it's like, how they train their officers, etc. And you know, in my world, if I were a police commissioner, I would be saying we're going to do, in the summer months when it's warm, we're going to conduct a fair amount of training for whether it's an automotive stop that goes bad or anything else, that we're going to set it up so that we can do a lot of the training outside. I'm going to get school parking lots or big box store parking lots, whatever I need, open it to the public, set up bleachers on the side, video it, and put the videos online and show everybody what you do to try and prevent this, because otherwise people are just going to assume the worst. They're going to assume that cops are out there and that they're predators. And they, you know, in many cases, a lot of this stuff is justifiable, but it looks really bad when you see it. And they, you know, building that trust is really the job of the police department. Well, and that's where they're letting everybody down.
Well, people have become immune to the fact that there are no routine landings or deliveries of babies, right? Even though it seems like it's become routine, it's not. There are no routine arrests either. Every one of them is a confrontation. Nobody says, "Hi, officer, here's my hands, put the handcuffs on there," right? It just doesn't happen. So the question is, how bad does it get? And now with the attitude people have, you can't, if you see somebody, you know, going through a stop sign and almost clipping somebody, and you toot your horn at them and say, what are you doing? They're flipping you off. I mean, what if you tried to arrest them? Anyway, Kevin, a big story this week, especially if you know the history of it, which I don't know the history of it that much, but the Defense Department went out, what, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, for some massive cloud?
They solicited bids, but I think it was awarded in 2019.
Okay, during the Trump administration, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a historical piece of fact thrown in there. And it was
it's a relevant fact, though.
Yeah, but it ended up, who were the original players? It came down to Microsoft and Amazon, right?
Microsoft and Amazon.
Who else was in there originally?
Wanted to build out the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure, a.k.a. JEDI, and basically it is the cloud infrastructure for their operations. And so Microsoft won the contract, and Amazon challenged, saying it was just vengeful politics by Trump that influenced the outcome. He was out to get Bezos and repay him for Washington Post.
Well, who was Kevin, originally, I could be wrong here, I thought there were more than two interested parties to start out, and it came down. Who were the?
I would imagine there are, but I don't know who they were.
Who could be big enough?
You could have had Google in there with cloud. You could have had people, you know, like Rackspace, and you know, some companies that aren't well known outside of the industry that are really good. There could have been more. But really, the big dogs in the industry and the ones who could deliver on that kind of scale really are Amazon and Microsoft and Google. And I don't know that if you backed up to when they started talking about this in 2016, that you would have called Google Cloud big enough to.
Well, don't take this wrong, but they do that because they've told us that, or they actually have delivered something on that scale.
Well, I can tell you that Amazon has, because they run their own business on that, and that's a pretty darn big scale business when you consider that there are separate Amazon sites for every country. So it's not just that you have Amazon.com, but then you have Amazon France and Amazon UK and Amazon Germany and Amazon Japan and you know, all around the world. And that's why they have the cloud in the first place, is they built it originally for their own business and then realized that they had something they could sell.
Okay, but I guess not knowing anything about this, that's why I'm asking the questions. Is what the Pentagon is asking them to do, is that anywhere, I mean, is it similar to what you do selling widgets? I would think that, I mean, I don't know, is it? I mean, what is it, just because you have the CBOE used the United Airlines a reservation thing to match up trades because it ended up being similar. But in other words, is there a connection between what the Pentagon is doing and what Amazon is currently doing, or is it a totally different direction with a totally new build-up?
Yeah, what you just mentioned with the CBOE and the airline control program, it was similar in the nature of the activity, which is fine, but that's an application decision. As much as it is a technology decision. In the case of cloud computing now, you're just buying computing power. You're buying the computing power from somebody else rather than acquiring all those servers yourself and having to manage them. And then you're counting on your cloud provider to have everything adequately secured and to have everything adequately backed up, which may be kind of folly as the decisions goes, because lots of people's cloud services have been the source of the ransomware attacks and so on.
All right,
on.
So you've got three companies.
Let's just say they're capable of securing it, and they do.
All right, there are three companies that make a living of selling people's crap and revealing secrets about everybody, phone numbers, you name it. How would they ever be considered secure? If they aren't, what are you going to do, shoot one of the guys? Why would anybody think Amazon is secure about anything?
Selling people's crap, and then there's not selling people's, you know, they're not selling the information that you have in your cloud. There are lots of people who do not release their info, that, you know, acquire cloud services, but do not, you know, do not do that with the permission that the provider can do anything with the data you want. In fact, when I talk about contracts to people, you know, in contracts for ERP, and this is classroom stuff, when we talk about doing contracts for ERP systems, as an example, I always tell them, you have to make sure your contract explicitly states you own your data.
All right, I
guess, you don't. There could be an assumption to the contrary.
I guess if somebody were to say, you want to put your stuff where you know it will never get out of there and people will never use it for their own best use, my knee-jerk reaction would not be Amazon and Google. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, I understand that. But if you really want to do that, you're going to put it on your own server and secure it.
Okay. I mean,
And Tom, you can go to a private cloud provider, and you can say, you set up the infrastructure and you manage it for me, but I'm going to have dedicated hardware for just that reason. So basically, it's as much a facility management type of contract or an offsite facility management contract as it is a cloud contract.
I understand that some companies have a military division that is probably incredibly secure, even though the rest of their company does things differently. I just on a personal, but I guess the thing that the question I want to get to is, how does somebody make this call? I mean, clearly the Bezos group was not in favor with the Trump administration. And the response to that was now to have, what, the biggest lobbyist army on earth. And obviously they're in tight, they're in like Flynn with the Biden administration. I mean, is this really how we're doing? I mean, how could the thing not have been started? This was 2 years ago. So Microsoft has done no work since this thing was, this contract was let, I'll use the term.
You know, that you could almost get that out of reading about this, that they really haven't gone forward with it other than getting the contract. I doubt that's the case. I'm sure Microsoft has done some work. And now what they're doing is, it's not like they scrapped it and said, in Amazon, you get everything. They're kind of reopening it, and they're reopening the whole design of the system and saying that, you know, a multi-cloud, multi-vendor contract seems more appropriate to us now. So I don't know how all this is going to work. I wouldn't want to be the designer. Well, I actually probably would really enjoy being the designer on it. But cobbling this all together and doing it in any kind of time frame before there's another shift in technology and requirements, I think is going to be darn near impossible.
Every time something like this happens, Kevin, I've been cursed, I guess, and blessed by being in whole different industries, I think, like you have, and have been certainly blessed with some of the brightest people that anybody's ever walked, have crossed through my life, I mean, just out of randomness. And when the Jimmy Carter had the issue with hostages in Iran and all the helicopters went down, it just so happened at Pullman, one of the guys who was at Pullman had been you're never a former engineer, had been an engineer that worked on helicopters. And he was able, over a three-day span, to give me about 6 hours worth of lecture, because he loved doing it. And he was a brilliant man.
Sounds like you guys weren't very busy.
It was when you're doing contract work, you're amazingly busy, and then you're not. You know, I would work, you know, basically my fanny off for a couple of weeks before a trip to Boston, and the next few days, you know, we basically had covered it and we'd signed everything and. You were at work, but you were good to go for a while.
That makes sense.
But people, there was no email. You never got a phone from a call from the outside. So your downtime was going and sitting in somebody else's office, finding out about the job he was before there. I mean, it was different. It was just, I mean, I don't think I wasted any more time than people doing their emails. I mean, even on a daily, anyway, but he went through the dog and pony show for me regarding those particular helicopters and how they had a couple of if you're in Chicago, the name, what is it? They had some people up the chain. The word here used to be Chinaman when you could say that, but you can't do that anymore. That they had whoever was, it wasn't Bell, it was somebody else, but they had somebody that was in the Pentagon that was pushing those helicopters, and they weren't about to stop. Now, whether they were getting paid for it or not getting paid for it, but the contract itself took forever because the other ones were better, and they finally got this one in, you know. And then all of a sudden they got this helicopter, and everybody knew that the thing couldn't handle a dust storm. And in fact, you had to change the rotors like every 100 hours or some ridiculous number. I don't know if I remember that right, but so you had to constantly keep changing the rotors that were titanium, for God's sake. So the thing was an absolute disaster from day one. And yet they had their people, their peeps in the Pentagon, and must have gotten paid by somebody to keep pushing this thing. And I wonder if the same thing isn't going on now with Amazon. Had their people, their lobbyist people in the Pentagon, and even though the other guys got the contract, they assumed regime change, dragged their feet on getting the thing going, and now they're flipping to the other side. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time something like that happened, is all I'm saying. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that's what happened with the helicopter thing.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I don't know how. I'd have to see how. I'd have to think through how Amazon would have interfered with it to slow Microsoft down on it. You know, and you're right. If they have their own people in there, they can influence them to do that. And honestly, other than the accusation, I don't know that there's any specific evidence
right.
that there was bias in the decision in the first place. It's conceivable that Microsoft just had a better bid. Nah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm going to say that in the Pentagon, when they got together at a table with 20 people sitting there, there were probably 11 people who favored Microsoft for whatever reason, and 9 that favored Amazon. Now, whether they were, I mean, these lobbyists get paid to do something, Kevin. I mean, I doubt very seriously.
Yeah, 11 and 9, and there were probably about 20 or at least 19 who hated Trump.
Yeah. Well, and then you've got, you know.
He never had. You know, he never had the brass. Rank and file, they liked him, but the military brass didn't.
But if it's the first year of the Roosevelt administration, well, I don't know about he never thought he was going to. But if it's pretty obvious that the guy's going to be there for two terms, and it's the first year in the Pentagon, you give up and say, okay, I'm an Amazon guy in this one, and I'll just let it drop because I fought the good fight, but I lost. But if it's the third year of a guy you think is going to be out, I don't think the other 9 people ever stop lobbying. I don't think they ever say this is going to be Microsoft and that's it and go about their work. I'm just saying how people have been that I've noticed. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Amazon group ever stood down in the Pentagon.
Yeah. Yeah, you may be right. You may be right. And you know, when you're a career person in government, you outlast everybody. You outlast the ones you like. You outlast
right.
the ones you hate.
Well, that's right.
So, yeah, well, that's a good point. It's a good point, Tom, is that I think, you know, you probably do have a number of people that just say, if I can gum up the works enough, and I can, then I'll just outlast these people, and then we'll do it our way.
Well, the staff at the SIBO, and most of them were terrific people, when they got a board member who they didn't know what to make of, meaning me and a couple other people that got on, you know, from the outside, they just said, okay, he's here for 3 years, let's hunker down, and if he's going to be a real pain in the behind, we'll outlast him. And they did. You know, I mean.
Well, and there was a guy, a different example. There was an envoy to Syria, and he talked about this after he retired, and he said, you know, with Trump had ordered troops out of Syria, and he said they just, you know, spent years moving them around like chess pieces to keep them out of line of sight, and now that Trump's gone, they're all where they were in the first place.
Yeah, I'm sure that I don't think when the president says,
and you know, he was pretty open about it. He seemed pretty pleased with himself.
Well, remember the Cuban Missile Crisis before Webby, when Kennedy said, "Don't tell me you idiots haven't moved those missiles out of Turkey," right? And of course they hadn't.
And of course they hadn't. So they gave a bargaining chip to the Russians.
Right. S&P futures up 9. NASDAQ futures up 83. Kevin, talk to you on Friday. Be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You could reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
There's something happening here.
Blowing up like Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. And we're going to talk about Mr. Weber's stock picking in a second here. S&P futures up 10.50, NASDAQ futures up 84. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing well. Did he pick Amazon before the announcement?
He denies it. He denies it, but we have it on tape. I'm going to say five or six years
ago. Is he married to Nancy Pelosi?
Let's hope not. No, he's married to a very lovely young lady.
But, yeah, I mean, you see that apparently he loaded up on some Amazon before the announcement.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, he's that sneaky.
Yeah.
But now one of his picks from like 5 or 6 years ago was FireEye, mm-hmm. because they were in the internet security business.
Yeah.
And how it is that every single stock, now today the big headline is because of this latest ransomware attack, all these cybersecurity stocks are to the moon. This stock isn't up a penny from when you recommended it 6 years. How do these guys manage to not catch this wave, Manny, this FireEye? The thing never goes up. We've been along it for some clients sometimes probably 10 times in the last 8 years, and things not up a dime. How do they manage to dodge the largesse here?
Good question. I don't know.
Just, hey, I got a couple things to discuss with both you guys. We had the big discussion the other night. We had a little bit of a party. And nobody knew the answer. We're talking about ransomware and people get paid in Bitcoin. All right. And we've had people on the show. I think it might have been you, Russell, that said no matter what, you can always identify the IP address of where this stuff is being flipped around. But at some point somewhere, I mean, if you go into the bank and you give them, $2,000 in cash, I don't think they have to file a report, but they know about it, right? So how is it at some point somebody... I'll just hear what I think is proper, but I don't know if it's proper. If I all of a sudden do a ransomware, which I'm surely not capable of doing, and I get paid in, I get three bitcoins, so which is what, $100,000. I guess if Tesla is willing to take my three bitcoins for a new Tesla, I don't know, they cost $100,000, the best one, I don't know. Say it does.
You can get one for $100,000.
All right, so let's say I somehow flip through my little wallet or whatever the thing is, the three bitcoins to Tesla, and they're trading right about 34. So let's say it's $100,000, and Tesla says, "Okay, we'll take it," and I drive out in my Tesla. All right, so I've essentially been able to spend it in the ether. Okay, but now Tesla's got them. Someday they're gonna want to, the bill for the tires is gonna come due, and they're gonna want to pay that guy in cash. Well, how is that however Tesla then takes the three Bitcoin someplace and comes up with $100,000 in cash, how is that not a blinking blue light somewhere. It has to be done. That cash has to come from a bank, unless they go to somebody in Soviet Union and the guy, you know, sends over a Federal Express thing with 100 grand cash in there. Somehow, whenever you go to cash, there has to be a transaction someplace that's it's traceable. Or what am I missing?
No, there's a traceable. Turned it into regular cash for sure.
Right. So the guys, ransomware.
You said something at the very beginning that was not 100% correct, where you said that that you can get the person's IP address. You can't necessarily get their IP address. You can get their wallet, but the wallets are really anonymous as well. And then you take that crypto and you basically launder it by moving it around a bunch anonymously to where you can't get at it anymore.
But you can. I thought you
plus
could.
Even if you know the wallet that it went to, there's a two-step verification. So it's kind of like, the person that uses the ATM in front of me, leaves the receipt in there, and I think the receipt covers up some of the account number as well. But I have all of that information, but I still don't have their PIN in order to get at it.
All right, so I'm sort of willing to concede. Well, anyway, what I was told is that that every single transaction, you can identify the computer the transaction took place. You won't know who did it. This is what I've heard. That's what I'm asking. But
there's a way to there's a pretty easy way to mask that. I could even mask.
All right.
That.
Okay. So say
my wife just looked up at me from the breakfast table like, what the hell is he talking about? I could totally do that. You can just get a VPN. People in China that want to check their Facebook, they actually just have to get one extra piece of software, and then the government over there can't really. They can, but it's a pretty difficult process. But they don't really know exactly what they're up to anymore when they're online.
All right. So, what I've sort of identified
is it's maskable, and then once it goes, you use the word ether. Once it goes off into the ether, unfortunately, it's gone, and it's gone in another country and in another jurisdiction where apparently we're not getting any help to catch these guys because it's becoming a new cottage industry over there.
Okay, but I guess where I'm going with this is the question I'm trying to get to too late. Someplace, somewhere, if it's a company or if it's somebody, as of now, the Bitcoin, unless you're going to buy something from somebody else with Bitcoin and essentially send it down the path, and I'm, you guys, I'm willing to concede that you're not going to catch that guy. But someday, somewhere, somebody at Tesla's got to pay for tires, and he's got to pay in cash or pounds or whatever it is, and he's got to convert this Bitcoin. To me, no matter what you do, that transaction is going to be known by somebody. Once you get back into the other realm, or am I wrong there?
I think they are able to turn it into real, spendable, old school currency at a point where we can't really trace it anymore.
Okay, but if it's $20 million in cash, U.S. dollars, and you're in Russia, how the hell do you find a bank in Russia that can all of a sudden come up with the $20 million?
Right. No, you turn it into rubles.
Okay. Right, so
you don't have to, you turn it into, or probably over there, maybe you turn it into euros, or you turn it into five or six different things, but there's ways to there's an audit trail. I know what you're talking about with respect to being able to, I think the example that I used was if I buy drugs with cash on the street, once the transaction's done, there's no audit trail. If I use Bitcoin, there still is a way to go about tracing me unless I cover my tracks.
Right. Well, I guess for him,
if these guys are smart enough to, get in there and just into what should be some pretty secure systems and put in ransomware, they're sure as heck smart enough to launder what they do with the Bitcoin that they receive for it.
But because I guess I'm having trouble understanding here. Matter of fact, I'm having no chance of understanding. Somebody somewhere is still left holding, I'll use the term, the Bitcoin bag. If I show up at the Russian, I don't have to show up, but if I electronically show up at the Russian bank And now this poor bastard's got 3 bitcoins, and he just gave me $100,000 worth of rubles. Now, what does he do with them? I mean, at some point, somewhere, I mean, he can't loan them to anybody. I mean, in other words, it's like keep pushing it down the train. It's like if somebody passed you a bad $100 bill, and you're a sleazy sort, the first thing you do is go out and spend it, right? You know, but at some point, somewhere, some guy's got the bad $100 bill. I mean, the bitcoins, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the rubles.
And you can also break the bitcoin up.
Okay.
So it's like, and once it gets broken up, that's where it starts to become difficult to trace. But, yeah, it's not like if they get a $20 million in Bitcoin ransom, that when they go to cash it out, they're going to cash out the full $20 billion,
okay,
or million or whatever it is.
So you're saying
they're going to start dividing it up. And you got to figure there's probably a team working on this, and they divide it all up among themselves. And then there are things that you can buy on the internet with Bitcoin. And that's a way to hide it as well.
Okay.
Buy every kind of drug known to man on using Bitcoin,
right?
To a PO box for yourself.
Maybe they're
using the money to buy a bunch of illegal drugs and then selling those for cash.
The thing I'm fishing with here, and Maddie's going to pull my plug here in a second, but I agree with you that if it's you or me, there's a way to pass the bad $100 bill. There's a way to pass the Bitcoin, and we would. Not that I want to be into this business, but yeah, could I buy drugs from someplace and then sell them to some drug dealer? But someplace, somewhere, the rubber's got to meet the road. The last guy has $100,000 worth of Bitcoin sitting there and says, well, whatever I need, I can't get through Bitcoin. I need to get like a real currency. Somebody somewhere gets caught in that trap where he can't pass the $100 bill to the next guy. And I'm saying when that day occurs, whoever that guy is going to be sitting there and going, and somebody's going to say, where did you get the 3 bitcoins? Well, I got them from Joe. Okay, now what did you give Joe? I gave Joe drugs. And, you know, I mean, somewhere along the line, there's going to be a trace someplace the minute it goes into, I'll use the term, a legitimate currency. Now, you could probably keep it in ether for quite a while. And you and I are smart fellows. We can pass it along, but someday it's going to land to somebody and says, hey, I just need a regular car or something, or I need to pay a medical bill, and I need something real. It has to enter the system somewhere. And I know people want to get it to the point where it never does, but I don't think it's there yet, do you?
Oh, gosh, no, it's not there yet because you can't use it to go to Target.
Right.
You know, you can't use it to pay your rent and things like that. But you can also take the Bitcoin that you got and turn it into Ethereum and then put it into what's known as cold storage and then pull it back out and then turn it into 3 other cryptos and, you know, eventually, you know, have your buddy that's over in Singapore, turn it into Singaporean dollars and then, you know, they send you a wire transfer that converts it back to U.S. dollars. And you're going through so many different jurisdictions, but you're also going through certain things that, you know, you say, there's no they that are keeping an eye on it.
Well, there's got to be.
You know, our intelligence services might be trying to trace where all this stuff is going. I doubt they're skilled enough to figure that one out. Because that's not really what they're normally working on.
Well, do you have any idea what the fee is? I mean, we've had movies and things where, you know, I don't know if they're right or not, that's why they're a movie, but I mean, if you walk in with, you know, whatever, $1 million in cash, I mean, clearly, if you just had it, you know, we could buy gas and groceries and buy drinks and whatever else we were doing for the rest of our lives and not have a problem. But if we actually wanted to use the whole million today, and somebody has to get it somewhere in somebody's bank account legitimately, there's a fee for that, right? I mean, somebody says, I can launder, I'll use the term launder it, I can launder it for you and have it in your bank account in Europe, but oh, by the way, it's not going to be $1 million, it's going to be $850. I got to believe it, every time this Bitcoin spins like this from place to place on something somebody's trying to hide, there's got to be a fee. The guy in Singapore is not going to change it to dollars because now he's stuck with it without getting something for that transaction. They say in Chicago, wet my beak, right?
Yeah. No, there's definitely, somebody taking a little bit when you move it from one place to another. But the number of different ways that you could go, the number of different things that you could do once somebody gives you the Bitcoin, as far as just moving it around, as a layman, would make it somewhat difficult to trace. Folks that can put ransomware on everything, on every major corporate computer in the world, which is almost what they did, you've got to assume they've got great encryption technology on their end where they can mask this stuff pretty well.
I'm agreeing with you 100%. The only thing I'm saying is that
and that's part of the deal with Bitcoin is it's like a two-part authentication, and then once it's sent, you can't get it back. But beyond that, it becomes very difficult to trace where it gets moved around if it's being moved around very quickly.
I'm just saying somebody somewhere is going
to
be...
I don't know how else to put it. It's just...
I don't disagree.
I
just have the feeling that someplace somewhere there's a guy at the end of the line that's got the three Bitcoins and has to pay the rent, and now what does he do? It's probably not the first guy or the second guy or the third guy, but somebody somewhere is stuck with this crap, basically.
Well, they're not stuck with three Bitcoin, and let's say, I've done something illegal and you sent me three Bitcoin, and then I gave you those pictures of you that I have back. Finally gotcha. And
I want to see those pictures too.
The first thing I'm going to do is take those three Bitcoin and send them off to different places, maybe convert part of one and put it in my Venmo account, and then, send my sister some cash with Venmo. There's just so many ways to move things around now. And you never really do have to turn it into pure currency.
Okay. All right, I have page two, as Paul Harvey would say. This issue with Didi.
All right.
This issue with Didi this week, and I know you've done some work with exchanges and so forth, and not asking to talk out of school, but it seems to me, over periods of time, and again, this comes from somebody who's on the air every day, and it's not what you say, it's what people hear, right? It used to be, when I first started in the business, to get like a New York Stock Exchange listing, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that you could even list the stock where the common shares didn't have voting rights, right? I mean, clearly you had all the SEC, you had prospectuses, you had all these requirements of this, quote, stock before it was the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, they were, to be perfectly blunt, they were pretty snooty about it, right? And they made it so that they essentially injected themselves into the system and said, by the way, if a stock's going to be here, it's going to be a real place. I mean, correct? I mean, to a certain extent anyway. And now in the interest of greed, I'll use that term, we had stuff like Baidu on there. Okay, well, Baidu, what do you get? Well, you get the income stream out of Bermuda or Bahamas or someplace. What about the assets? No assets. Jack Ma has the assets. What about the voting rights? Well, you don't have any of those either. And yet, I'm sure someplace in the legalese, the New York Stock Exchange has probably distanced themselves from the Baidu situation, or they somehow distance themselves from, I don't know if the Google is on the New York Stock Exchange. I don't think it is, but if it was, I'm sure they competed for it. They don't care about no stinking voting rights anymore. Well, when this Didi came out last week, Russell, I'm sitting there going, all right, wait a minute. a Uber company in China, after what the Chinese government just did to Baidu, has nobody learned that you got to be careful with these Chinese stocks because you don't have any real, you don't have anything, really, if they choose to have you not something. And all of a sudden, here is a week later, and they're damn near shutting the place down because they're pissed off at it.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm saying is it's at what point...
Do you know why they're mad at them?
Because they told them to not have the listing for delayed listing, and they set up yours.
Yeah, that, and they enriched a lot of people, and I don't think they included the party folks.
Well, duh.
They had a lot of stock options before they went public. I don't think they greased the right palms before they did that.
See, you can tell you're from Chicago or spent some time here. I mean, obviously, you didn't pay off the right guy. But I guess...
You didn't.
At some point, though, here's the question I'm trying to get to, the moral question I'm digging here. It's sort of like if you walk into a brokerage firm right now and you don't have an account, you don't have anything, but you either found a paper certificate from your old man or your mother, I won't say your old lady, your mother, and or you did some work for a place 5 years ago as a consultant and they paid you in stock and gave you a paper certificate. You walk into that brokerage firm, you're persona non grata. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're immediately branded a money launderer. I mean, unless you've got, you know, the places we clear through, you know, $500,000 and been there 5 years or some load of crap. You would think that that's what brokerage firms are for, is for you to be able to sell stock. Well, think again. You know, but the weird part is, Russ, I don't necessarily care if the New York Stock Exchange allows what people maybe are still assuming to be their listing requirements to slide. And I guess maybe there's a reason why the government thinks anybody with a paper share of stock is a nefarious money launderer. And I've never seen that. The people here that have tried to bring in paper stocks were people we knew, and maybe they had consulting agreements with places. It was pretty straight to me. But still, it was a problem. My concern is, why don't these people have the balls to actually be the head of the Wall Street Journal one day and say, hey, by the way, if you buy a stock in the New York Stock Exchange, whatever you thought, you know, the rigorous due diligence that the New York Stock Exchange used to do 25 years ago, we don't do anymore. So you're on your own. But at some point, the next time you have a paper security, you're immediately considered a money launderer. Say that. Don't make the PTIs or the Schwabs or the Merrill Lynch's of the world have to tell people, oh, no, they think you're a money launderer. Why would they think that? And all of a sudden, you become the villain. I'm saying if you're going to make these changes, make them. Tell people so other people get out. I mean, what if somebody had bought someone as Didi through PTI, for God's sake? And you know, why would I ever have guessed that there was a warning from the Communist Party to not list the damn thing? I mean, and when they didn't, guess what? They're making a monkey out of the people who bought it. All right? I mean, if you're going to go down that road as a New York Stock Exchange or the SEC and let this stuff go out there through the pure greed, tell people the new rules. And I don't think they're doing it. Do you?
No, I don't think they're doing it at all. But it seems like everybody criticizes our previous president, but he was trying to, you know, make sure these sorts of things didn't happen, and the New York Stock Exchange ignored him, if I remember correctly.
I would.
Was he not trying to basically have Chinese companies adhere to the same rules as U.S. companies if they get listed on the exchange here?
I think that was one of his.
And he was working toward it, and I think there was an executive order toward the end of his presidency. And the New York Stock Exchange just ignored it, if I remember correctly.
They say, hey, the guy's got a year, we don't have to deal with it.
Right. Is that going by? And I think I heard you saying that in the first hour.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the case of that one. I mean, are these people really in charge? I mean, as much as people in Chicago, a lot of people are disappointed with Mayor Lightfoot, okay? You know, right or wrong, who knows? But people are disappointed with them. So the state just passes a elected school board. People want an elected police board. Well, if all that starts to happen, what exactly does the mayor do? You can't control the schools, which are basically under your, and you can't control the police commissioner. If you can't control the police and the schools, what now is fire next? The garbage guy's next. What exactly do you do as mayor all day? Isn't that your job?
I thought, well, then she can get all the me time that she needs.
Yeah, well, I mean...
She can go sit there and think about all the big issues. That lack of me time is why the city's falling apart.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it would be better to have people that specialize in running the schools instead of having the mayor just apply. I was on a school board. I got elected to a school board. And, I couldn't even fathom that the school board in Chicago was just appointed by the mayor. I just that one just blew me away, because that was just such a lack of accountability. It was ridiculous.
Well, I would agree with that 100%. But you also don't want somebody coming up to the mayor and saying your schools are you know, out of 100 schools, 100 school groups in the country, your group is 101, and you say, what are you asking me for? I didn't appoint these people, and she just walks out. I mean, you don't want that either.
Yeah, but then you have people that are actually, you know, directly responsible for it. Right now, before that got passed, I'll bet you that 9 out of 10 people in Chicago didn't even realize that the school board was just appointed by the mayor.
Oh, I always knew.
Well, yeah, you knew. I knew. You know what? I didn't know until I got elected to a school board. But I didn't pay that much of attention to all of that until I found out that there are two completely different sets of rules for public schools in Illinois, the Chicago rules and the non-Chicago rules.
Well, I don't know what
And I never understood why Chicago got completely different rules.
All right, what town were you in? Let me ask you, who would elect you?
I was in Hinsdale, Clarendon Hills.
All right, so first of all, the people there...
I was on the District 181 school board, and if you ask anybody in town that pays attention, I probably was the worst school board member ever.
or probably to me, you were the best. You were probably the best.
Well, I got criticized because I didn't say an awful lot when I was on the school board. Somebody referred to me as the Clarence Thomas of the school board. And the reason was because the meetings went on and on forever. We already knew how we were going to vote when we showed up. And so why in the world did I need to sit there and grandstand and let everybody else, you know, let everybody know, you know, every detail of why I'm voting the way that I'm voting?
Well, that's why these are tough issues.
I drove people nuts with that.
Well, that's why they're tough issues. So, I mean, you can't have the mayor of Hinsdale say, "Man, your schools suck." So, it's not my problem. You don't want that either.
No. Well, that actually wasn't his responsibility.
That's what I'm saying.
Responsibility. If you have a problem with the schools, there were 7 people that were elected to oversee the schools, and you had people you could directly go to that. You know, if they chose to, and God knows I don't know why anybody would choose this, but if they chose to want to get reelected, you know, you had to listen to what other people, you know, the advice that you were being given by the public. But you did have, you know, people who, out of the goodness of their heart, because God, we were not paid, were trying to do the best thing for the overall school system, and basically it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Well, I want the paid job of the mayor of Hinsdale. If I don't have anything to do with the police, fire, or schools, it's all somebody else's problem.
Yeah, he's got to do with the taxes, the how you use your property, and the streets.
Doesn't seem like much. SP Futures up 5. NASDAQ Futures up 84. Yeah. Be right back, Russell.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99
online on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks Radio Show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Just Brent Weber on the board. S&P futures up 5 now. NASDAQ futures up 82. We were up like 11 a minute ago, so we're leaking back a little bit, but still pretty positive across the way. Dow's only up 20, but the Dow's been kind of an outlier. Got Goldman Sachs down 231. That's what's holding the Dow down. JP Morgan down 1. Banks took a pretty good hit yesterday, and people are all over these banks to the upside, and yet they don't seem to be able to get out of their own way. I don't know why that is. We'll talk to Russell about that in a minute. Because I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not, out of all the stuff that I think that I do pretty good in the market, trying to value banks by book and versus other stuff and loan portfolios is just, I've never been able to really put a good number on those guys because they're so tied to the government, I can never figure out what's the relevant number. But at least I'm honest about it. Other people aren't. DAX up 141.9%, FTSE up 17.2, CAC around down 5, we'll say 0.1 or flat, depending on how close you want to shave that. Nikkei down 276, that's a full percent. Shanghai up 23, that's 0.7%. Hang Seng down 112.4%. So again, mixed over in Asia. Yesterday, Dow was down 208 after being down 400 at one point. S&P down 880, we were down like 30. The NASDAQ down 24, at one point they were down almost 100. So we came pretty good back on the by the close. Bonds 1.31, down 6 basis points. Pretty scary. I mean, I say that every day, and it's going to get lower. Bund minus point almost 3.0 now. We got Japan positive 0.03. Oil up 25 cents to 73.62. It was over 74 last time we checked, so they've come down. They were up 1% a while ago. Brent up only 37 cents, 74.90. Natural gas only up a penny. It was up 6 cents earlier. Again, that's come down. This whole energy area has dropped in the last hour. RBOB was up 3 cents, and now it's unchanged at 232. Gold, which was up 15 bucks, still up 13.50, 18.07. Silver up 32 cents, 26.50. Silver been amazingly violent between about 26.90 and 25.80. Violent within the dollar range, but it never breaks out of the range, or at least it hasn't. Copper up almost 10 cents now, 434. Huge move in copper. That's for those guys. I mean, a 2% move in copper is a big deal. Crypto, Bitcoin still up 974. That's almost 3%, 34,950. Matt, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and police shootings, and I'm going to get a new job. I'm going to be a casing finder guy. There seems to be a need for those guys.
There's a demand. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic starting to build on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower, though just west of the Eisenhower on the Reagan, I-88.
inbound side at I-355, there's road construction on that exit ramp, so it's only leaving the left shoulder of the exit ramp open until 3 p.m. today, so that's causing some delays on I-88 as you're heading inbound toward the Eisenhower. Stevenson looking okay. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are quiet, although we have some closures on the south side due to police activity that we'll get to in a second. Only other crash in the area is just across the Indiana border on 8094 inbound side before Indianapolis Boulevard, which is exit 2. There's a crash blocking the two left lanes involving a semi-truck right at Indianapolis Boulevard there. So expect significant delays if you're heading to northwest Indiana this morning on 8094. On the south side, as I mentioned, and I mentioned these last hour, there apparently was an issue where a CPD officer and two ATF agents were shot in front of the 22nd District headquarters on the south side, and this has Monterey between Homewood and Vincennes closed due to the investigation. Just east of there, 111th Street between Eggleston Avenue and Princeton is closed due to railroad crossing work. And then we have a couple of other closures due to police activity. It looks like the I-57 northbound exit ramp is blocked at 119th Street due to police activity on Ashland between 118th and 119th. And then the other police activity closure is just northwest of there, 95th Street between Kilbourne and Costner is closed due to police activity. So a lot of closures in a small area there due to police activity. So keep that in mind if you're driving around in that area. Weather today, clouds early, some rain later on, a high of 81, so a lot cooler than it's been. That'll feel nice. Right now it's overcast and 77 degrees downtown, but still dry. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 111. Right now it's clear and 89. In sports, White Sox snapped their three-game skid. They topped the Twins last night 4-1 up in Minneapolis. Cubs have now lost 11 in a row. In spite of scoring 10 runs last night, they lost to the Phillies 15-10 in a shootout. Diamondbacks topped the Rockies 4-3. And in NBA basketball, the Phoenix Suns took game one of the NBA Finals, beating Milwaukee 118-105. Chief.
Just to give you a... Bear with me, Russell, a little bit here. That particular police station, it's known as the Morgan Park Station, by the way, right down the block from Morgan Park High School. For years and years was this tiny little place. There was virtually no crime there, so the thing actually was closed, I'm going to say, at least 25 years. It was this little, looked like it was built as a pillbox back in like the 20s or something. So finally, they said, oh, you know what, we better open it up because the crime in this area is getting a little worse. So they opened it up, and they probably used that building for, you know, I'm saying a decade, and said, well, this isn't cutting it. We need some brand-new police station. They got this big, huge place now. And now we've gone from not even needing a station there to a small station to three people getting shot in front of the new station. So are we talking progress here or not? I'm thinking no.
And that was... That was some planned stuff because apparently they, whoever did it, used a car that they stole from somebody and the car was like just found abandoned. You know, so these people, whatever they did, that was well planned.
And it's a block and a half from the train station. So yeah. If it would have happened a little later, who knows how many people might have got sprayed waiting for a train. And it's, like I said, it's a half a block from the high school. And, all kinds of people there. They have a all-weather track, showing my age. They have a running track there that gets a real lot of people in the morning and the afternoon out walking on the track and so forth for exercise. So, I mean, there's people in both directions clearly in harm's way there. And yet you say somebody piles out of a car and just sprays. And, I can't even go where the morals of that are, Russell. It's just a...
Yeah, I'll tell you, anybody that knew me growing up knew all I ever wanted to do was get out of Tennessee and move up and be a big city person in Chicago, and I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Which I in a million years I never, but after, you know, getting randomly assaulted a few months ago for when I was minding my own business downtown and, hearing stuff like this happening every day. And the thing is, those of us that have lived here a long time, we know that when you hear of a shooting, it's normally in a certain part of town that you just don't go to, and that's just not the case anymore.
No, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And I don't see how.
Because I mean, you're talking about. I mean, what you're describing is, you know, like a neighborhood that's on the border of the city that, if you didn't know any better, you'd think you were in a suburb.
Yeah. I mean, Beverly is a serious area, and Mount Greenwood. I mean, it's even the neighborhoods there that are you know, they're African American on the other side of the expressway. Those neighborhoods are fine too. It's a middle class area all the way along. I mean, it's not just, you know, that the black area is bad and the white area is okay. It's not that way at all.
It has nothing to do with a race or anything else. It's just there are certain areas that have been continuous war zones since I ever moved here.
But this idea it's one thing
it's
to have
everywhere now.
But it's one thing to have somebody shoot somebody for cause, meaning, you know, messing with your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or whatever. But I mean, even that's pretty horrible. But this constant randomness where nobody's really out of, policemen aren't, you know, out of the loop. People that are older aren't out of the loop. You know, if you shoot somebody and you end up with nailing a 5-year-old, there's no remorse on any of these people. I mean, this has become, you know, kind of normal now. You can see it even in the smaller stuff. If you're driving on the Ryan or the Stevenson and all of a sudden, one idiot decides to go 100 miles an hour, there's going to be three people that go right with him, saying, I can't get caught now because he's going to get caught first. Without any regard whatsoever to the safety of that or anything like that, I was, I mentioned yesterday, my niece's boyfriend, really good guy, really hell of a softball player, which makes him even better, but nice guy. And he's a fireman / paramedic. And he was telling me that this weekend he had a very rare occurrence. He's told me that if you have these rollover crashes, the amazing amount of people survive as long as you have your seatbelt on, right? That you don't, you don't normally die. You might get banged up pretty good. So this one, he's telling me, there's a lady, and she gets whacked by this guy, right? She freely admits to going 80 plus. The guy comes up behind her in a Land Rover and clips her. So he's doing, she says he must have been doing like 100 and something because he was on me in a second, and I'm doing 80. She admits to that.
Yeah.
The guy clips her. His car flips, the Range Rover. He's evidently not wearing a seatbelt. Somehow he gets flipped out of the sunroof.
He got thrown?
Thrown out of the sunroof. And he's in the hospital, but he basically walked away. And I'm thinking, somebody, if there's a heaven, was looking at that guy. That's what are the chances of that, of getting thrown out of a car at 100 miles an hour while it's turning up and down and being relatively okay? I mean, he wasn't nothing life threatening. I'm sure he's got a couple of busted bones and some scratches here and there. But what are the chances of that? I'm happy the guy's alive, but when you have somebody who admits to going 80 in a 55 and telling you somebody clips her. She figured she's not even worried about telling you she's going 80. So what? We're all going 80. I mean, it's like
because that's a normally on that's a normalcy on our expressways. I used to work Asian market hours, and I'd drive home around 4 a.m. in the morning. Oh my God, the Eisenhower at 4 a.m. it's like a NASCAR. It's like a straight NASCAR race.
Yeah, I have a. My barber used to be in the CBOE building. Of course, I'm one of these guys. I never if somebody moves and I can get there, I'm not going to dump an old guy that I.
Yeah, you need to give me his number.
I will do that. He's on 31st and Wolf.
Yeah, he's out near me. That's right. Yeah. You've got to give me his number.
So anyway,
it's the same guy. It's nice the same guy. That yeah.
So I drive out there. I said, you know, I got people working at the house. He goes, all right, I can meet you there at 7. So I'm up early anyway, obviously. So I'm driving to the Eisenhower at 6:30, and now this is not, you know, the South Side where everybody's African American. Everybody on this thing is white. I see guys going on the shoulder at 100, passing people up because the guy in the thing, they're driving on the shoulder. to pass up somebody who's going 75 or 80. And I'm like, what is with these people? Now, my question, Russell, and this is, and there's no answer to it. I get the feeling, and I sure as God, I hope I'm wrong, that what the Fed is doing, that this is going to reach a crescendo one of these days, and we're going to have a market that craps out, and we're going to have massive problems with these downtown areas not paying their bills, and we got, what, 11 million people they claim are haven't paid any rent. So we're going to have that fight to fight countrywide, and which means a lot of people there, I'll say, 25% of the building owners haven't paid their mortgages. And I mean, we've got an economic, I'll say, moat to cross here at some point. And if people are already this crazed, what are they going to do if we actually get on top of the COVID situation, at least the government was weighing money at people for a while. What are we going to do if we have like a real economic problem here? In tops of all this lawlessness, the downtown area is a shadow of its former self. The taxes that people get from there, which got to be keeping the city somewhat afloat, aren't going to be coming in because nobody can pay. I mean, what are we looking at, Russell, if we don't use our heads here a little bit? And I don't see anybody using their head.
Oh, cities were a freaking nightmare in the 70s, and I think that's what you're going to see again.
Yeah, but in the 70s, you didn't have a federal government spending twice as much money as they take in. At some point here, I mean, I was listening to some people
we kind of did. The Vietnam War was extremely expensive.
True.
And I think it was the predecessor to a lot of the problems that we had in the 70s.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, it was...
Yeah, so, I mean, so we're at the... If you want to think about it cycle-wise, we're in the Vietnam War part right now.
Well, I would say that two things were somewhat different. The average salary that people made was enough to live on for one person in a family. And now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't say the average, I'll say the median. And now it absolutely is not. So if you drop 2 years now of 12% inflation on top of people, while the people that have money are making 0% in the bank, and oh, by the way, the market might correct, I won't say crash, correct, the difference money-wise is dramatic. I mean, after the Vietnam War in 77 or 8 when I was working at Pullman, I mean, the people who were working that had jobs were able to maintain a house and a car and those kinds of things relatively easily. You didn't have a huge backup like that. You didn't have an $85,000 debt per person to the federal government. You didn't have your city and state mm-hmm. broke. I mean, there wasn't that kind of overhang that you have now, I don't think. Not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to people the other day having a reasonable argument regarding corporate taxes and how these poor corporations, if you jump them from 21% to 24, you're gonna screw up heaven, right? Yet nobody seems to know that corporations are down to paying 7% of the total taxes, which is relatively obscene. Where they used to pay what, like 17% or 16, they're only paying 7, and that's and you could argue that that's where a lot of the money is. Not saying it should go up or down. I'm just pointing out facts. And I don't see how individual people are gonna make this up, because I mean I've had people in the last week or two. I mean, but I guess the largesse of the problem of the two idiots talking in a loud voice where I was the other night, buddy, it's not the question of 21 to 24. We're talking double. Right, we're talking if the Fed doubled everything they took in right now, gas tax, Social Security, unemployment, you name it, if they doubled everything, they'd just be even. We're not talking about going from 21% to 23, pal, are we? I mean, we're not even on that planet anymore. I don't think I don't think the general person that isn't teaching class like you or doing this in the morning like me and our listeners who somehow listen to me. The magnitude of basically the bleep box we're in was nothing like this in 71 or 75, was it?
I was like 4 and 5 years old, but
yeah, but you were very bright 4 and 5 years old.
No, I don't think it was nearly. I mean, there was a I'm sitting here thinking about all, I hadn't thought about this before, so I'm thinking about all the equivalency. You know, we've got Trump, who could be considered somewhat like a Nixon-type president, where, you know, he was skirting a lot of things, and although I think, personally, I think both of them had, for the most part, had our overall country's interests at heart. So you had a lack of faith in government. There's got to be that's probably one thing that all sides can agree on right now.
Yeah, I would never
a lack of faith there.
I would not.
So we're not going to listen to them because they got us into the trouble that they've gotten us into.
I would say that there's virtually, other than the fact that they were sort of discredited at the end, I don't think there's any comparison between Nixon and Trump. Nixon was 10 times smarter. He was way better governor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I
think the outcome,
yeah.
I think it's a similar type. One of my earliest memories was when Nixon flew off. My parents, like, sat me down in front of the TV and tried to explain to me what was going on. But I think there was a big feeling of relief when he left. And
yeah.
Even people that supported Trump, I think a good number of, and I'll just say us, were kind of relieved that he, you know, was gone now. Not happy about the replacement, but just because he had just become, I don't know, kind of unhinged to a certain point. And
I
feel like in both cases, I feel like there was a feeling of relief that they, you know, that Nixon was gone and that Trump is gone now. But now what government needs to do is figure out some way to try to renew some faith in lead us in difficult times. And I just don't think that's there anymore.
How nuts do you two guys think? I know you got me 90% of the way there now. How nuts would you think I was if I said, out of all the presidents I've been around in my lifetime, Gerry Ford is my favorite?
Yeah, you know what? He was. I feel like he was the most selfless, and did things that were. He knew he wasn't going to get reelected when he pardoned Nixon.
Yeah,
but he also knew that. And I don't think he pardoned Nixon because he was best buds with the guy. I think in the big picture, he wanted us to all start moving forward, and maybe he set the table for Reagan. It took a little while to get there, but.
How many friends?
It's possible that we were able to put all that crap behind us instead of stretching it out for two or three more years.
I thought Gerry Ford was one of those honest, decent men that ever was in public office.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, in order to get elected president, you're not an honest, decent guy.
Well, that's unfortunately, yeah, that's the way it grows.
To get appointed to it in a time of crisis, that's who we turn to.
Well, you know, what's interesting about Nixon...
That should be the litmus test when we elect somebody.
I have actually a question for you, being the professor. Talk about diametrically opposed, and we're still somewhat fighting this battle today, if you take the moral hazard part out of it. There's two people pretty much right in a row. You had Johnson and you had Nixon. Johnson came out with the massive war on poverty. We only got a couple of minutes, so I'm just going to ask for your yes or no vote here. You had the massive war on poverty that had all these programs. The only one I think that's left, I could be wrong, I think the only one that's even left to this day has been Head Start. The rest of them aren't around anymore. So he puts all these programs out there. And at the time, and I remember some of this stuff, I shouldn't, but they said if you divided the amount of money you spent by the amount of poor people and sent them a check, you wouldn't have had any poor people. Right, by definition. Of course, for a year or two, that was kind of a half-assed way to say it. But so a few years later, people decided that this wasn't the way to go because people along the way stole half the money, and you still had as much poverty like 4 years later than you spent all this money. So Nixon comes out with, which I thought was kind of a starting point. It was, from the University of Chicago, it was somewhat brilliant. It was from the Milton Friedman School and everything. He came out with something called the negative income tax, where you basically bleep can all these programs, or most of them, and you'd say if somebody sent in a thing and said, I made no money last year, you sent the guy a check for $2,500 or whatever it was and said, okay, we don't care how big of a bleep you are. Just don't bother us. You know, stay out of other people's way. Don't go rob anybody. Here's enough to mm-hmm. keep you fed. And it was designed in such a way where if the guy went out and made like $50 on a weekend and actually reported it, that he got to keep, you know, 48 of it or something. So it never stopped you from wanting to actually earn a little extra.
Work.
And of course the thing totally blew up. And talk about two diametrically opposed visions of how to handle this stuff. And yet we're still fighting that same battle today, aren't we, Russell? We're still trying to find out the middle ground there. We don't want to give anybody money because it's a moral hazard. Yeah, we want to do these other things where people along the way steal half of it, and some people don't want to do that. We're still fighting that same battle, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely, we're still fighting that battle. And we just went through a period of time where a bunch of checks were getting sent out to people, and now we've got a little bit of a labor shortage, which some of it has to be attributed to that. I'm not saying all of it, but some of it has to be attributed to that. Why should I go to work at a disheartening job where people yell at me and I barely make minimum wage if the government's going to give me a check that's maybe even a little bit less, but I don't have to go through the trouble?
Well, that's there, but I also think a lot of people have left these towns. A lot of guys that had those kinds of jobs in Chicago, I think some of them have left. Well, I mean, they're not going to wait here for 14 months in the wintertime to get a phone call. I mean, there's a million reasons, I think, in here, not just one. Anyway, Russell, thank you very much, buddy. As usual, good stuff. Have a nice week. Talk to you next week. SP Futures not only up 375. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.